The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of time with me here this morning. And, well, we're surely at the end of summer. The fair is over. Labor Day coming right around the corner. And, you know, it's just, what are you going to do? Everything goes by faster as you get older. And my dad told me that. And it's a very strange thing, time, because when you were 12, well, heck, when you were 6, 5 minutes seemed like an eternity. And now a year seems just like a photograph. And this is my eldest daughter, Sydney, her last year at the house. She's going off to college next year. She's potentially, at least right now, wants to study architecture, and she's looking at Mizzou, Iowa, Arizona, a couple others. And she, it's crazy. I mean, I just picked her up at the hospital. I just remember it like it was yesterday. I just remember her entering the planet. And boy, it's strange to think about. Whenever I'm in these different phases of life, and I remember, gosh, only 5 or 6 years ago, looking at people whose daughters were my daughter's age, so sophomore and going to be a sophomore and a senior, and looking at daughters that age and being like, wow, that's wild. I mean, I can't imagine our kids will ever be that big. And, you know, you think, I mean, when they're 10, 16 is a million years away, right? But here it is, and actually a whole moving out thing. I think that teenagers inherently, they have this, you know, sort of, they're trying to carve out their own. So it kind of can come across as rebellion, although my kids are pretty good. They're not giant rebels, we'll say. But, you know, they push back a lot more than they, I mean, it's gone, you know, when they're 5 and you come home from work and they just drop what they're doing, no matter what they're doing, and they jump up and down daddy's home. And now you're lucky if they look up from their TikTok videos when you walk in the room. But, you know, some of that is, I think, honestly, the natural way that we're protected from utter despair, losing our kids to the world. And that's what you do. You take your kid and you craft them up and you love them as much as you can and you sacrifice and you do all the things. And then you send them out into the world, and guess what you get? You get a lot less of your kids. And even, you know, my mom is now moving up to Des Moines, and so we'll have the family in one area for the first time, well, since I left high school, anyway. And she's going to be able to really engage and get to see the kids do volleyball and synchronized swimming and track and the things that they do, and just be part of their lives in a way she's not been able to over the last 10 years, really, really most of their lives, because when they were real young and we lived in Hawaii, we would see her twice a year, and then we moved back to the mainland, ostensibly to see family more, and we would go down probably twice a year as when the kids were littler, and then my mom would come up a couple times a year, and then due to my stepdad's, some of his health issues, she's not been able to come up, and now we're going to be able to have her around and make, you know, she's going to get to go. She's super excited. She's going to get to go to all the events and just be part of the situation. And you know, and she couldn't move up here while my grandmother was alive because my grandmother had nobody else. And that was fine. I mean, that's, you know, we're not going to abandon her. But when she passed this year, it just kind of put everything in a different perspective because I was just pretty quickly after that said, Mom, you should just move up here. And as Providence would have it, a house right near our house in Des Moines opened up for sale, and she'll be moving in there in a couple, 3 weeks. I'm going to fly down to Oklahoma and drive her back up, and a new phase begins, and which is, it's, you know, it's good. I mean, obviously I want her to be, my brother passed several years ago, and so there's really nobody around that can be sort of there for my mom as she ages. She's 81, so she's a healthy 81. She's got no major problems that we know of. She had both her knees replaced. If you've been a long-time listener, you remember she had her knees replaced, and then I actually took her. So I was learning the Mako robot at the time from a guy, or I went to learn the Mako robot from a guy out in Kearney, Nebraska, of all places. I didn't go to Kearney. I went to Omaha. They had a lab there. They brought the Mako in a truck, and you know, I learned on it. And we use, I don't know if you know this, but cadaver use does not end in medical school. We use cadavers when we're learning new techniques. You know, I use a cadaver hip and a cadaver knee, and in the training for the Mako, of course, I don't do hips anymore. But anyway, the guy who trained me on the Mako robot was this really brilliant guy named Dr. Wright, and he was in Kearney, Nebraska, and it was really weird. Like, I got to know him, and he was just brilliant. I had done like 30 research papers and written book chapters, and he went to, you know, all the best training and everything. And I said, how did you end up in Kearney, Nebraska? Are you from here? He said, no, but when I was coming out of my fellowship, someone told him, you know, Kearney, Nebraska has a big vacuum of orthopedics. In other words, there was tremendous amount of need there and that was unmet. And so he went out there and just started, he'll do 15, 18 joints a week, you know, which is pretty great. You know, 600-800 a year, pretty amazing numbers. I think he's been higher than that even in the past. Anyway, so I said, all right, Mom, we're going to drive out to Kearney, Nebraska and get your knees done by this guy. I think he's, you know, got it pretty mastered. So that's what we did. And anyway, she came, she stayed with us at my house in Carroll to recover, which gave me a new perspective. Since that time, I've not done bilateral knee replacements. I used to do them. And a lot of my patients, I would say that my experience with them was good. 75% of the time, patients were like, didn't have big trouble with it, but sometimes they would. And I just, you know, I didn't know when they would tell me how bad it was. I didn't really know. Okay, but you got through it. And almost to a one, they all said, I'm glad I did them both. So now that it's over. But I watched how much trouble my mom had because I was right there. She was in my house. And I said, you know, if there's a chance that people are going to have this kind of trouble, I don't want to do two at once. And so I will if the patient is really, really adamant about it, but I don't offer it. In other words, I don't. If you need two knees done, I usually say, hey, I will do a knee, and then 6 weeks later, we'll do the other knee. And the reason for 6 weeks is I think that gives your body an adequate time to recover. If you do a knee one day and another knee 2 or 3 days later, there's no advantage to that. There's no medical advantage to that. And anybody who tells you there is, if you're going to do them that close, do them at the same time. Because then you're going through two anesthesias. You're having twice the time in the hospital, even if they're outpatient. I mean, I don't know if you could do outpatient. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could, whatever. But there's really no advantage to doing them close together like that. So it just is what it is. I mean, there's no medical advantage to doing them close together. Just like there's no medical advantage to do an outpatient knee. It's convenient and it drives revenue in different directions. In other words, from the hospital to the surgery center. But there's no medical advantage to doing an outpatient knee. And I mean, it's fine. I mean, in a well-selected patient, it's been shown that it can be just as good, but there's nothing that shows that it's better for the patient. I guess the only argument you could make is that you don't actually go into a hospital where sick patients are. And that, I mean, that's true, but there's never been any data that shows that there's an advantage to outcomes by doing it outpatient. And if you did, you would have to take into account the fact that patients who are getting their knees done on an outpatient basis are going to be healthier. You're just not doing an 85-year-old who, you know, you're manipulating their, maybe they're on Coumadin and you have to stop it and start it back. I mean, you're not, that patient doesn't get done outpatient. That patient's in the hospital. You're less mobile patients. It's just the patients who, you know, you're just selecting for a super fit and healthy type of patient if you're going to send them home the same day. So obviously those outcomes are going to be better. But if you match them up, there's no big advantage to it. And I would do that for any patient who wanted to go home the same day. I've done it if they really asked for it. But I usually tell people, I don't see the reason. Just go home the next day. You'll get therapy. If your pain gets out of control, we can control it. If anything happens, especially if you're over 70, I just say you shouldn't do it. Really, pretty much, I guess, 65. I just don't think you should do it. And that's just my opinion as a doc, because I've seen over the years, I mean, I've been doing this, done thousands of knee replacements over the last 20 years, and I've seen patients who we thought were just fine have fairly significant medical problems overnight after knee replacement. And it's rare, but, you know, where do you want to be? And again, you know, if you go home the next morning, what's the big deal? You spent the night in the hospital where people can look after you and, you know. Anyway, that's just my philosophy on it. It's nothing I take. And I would never say that people shouldn't. If you are comfortable and your surgeon is comfortable doing an outpatient knee, go do it. And more power to you. I would also say that here in Carroll, my practice is on the older side. My average age of a total knee is probably, I would guess, significantly older, you know, probably 6 to 8 years older than in Des Moines. And just because in the rural areas, the age demographic is just older in general, right? So there's fewer people. So you're going to, but yeah, I mean, it's just all of these things are kind of dealer's choice as far as how the patient and the surgeon want to go about them. But for me, I prefer to keep people overnight. About 80% of my patients go home the next day. About 15% would, got to add up to 100, right? So about 15% would stay two nights, and then about 5% would stay three nights. And there's people who just, you know, they need to stay extra, but it's not all that often. But yes, it's that time of year. It's that fair time of year. I'm still waiting. Have not felt that one morning yet that tells you that fall's really here. I'm sure that's coming in the next few weeks. But I do like that. I like fall dressing. I like football. You know, I like to wear a sweater and a little jacket and maybe a cap. I like the change of seasons. And I guess there's really nothing that declares it like Labor Day. I don't know. Sometimes the weather will just switch on Labor Day. But yeah, like the fair is the end of summer and then Labor Day is the beginning. School's back in session and fall's right there, if not just around the corner. And speaking of the fair, I did not go to the fair this year. It's the first time I haven't gone to the fair, well, since we moved here. And my daughters both worked at the fair, and my oldest daughter worked a couple days at the lobster roll stand, which was part of the bigger JR's thing, I think, that she works for, or maybe it's the same owner. I'm not sure how that all worked. But a 6-inch lobster roll, I couldn't believe when she told me this. A 6-inch lobster roll is $35. And I was like, what? And she said there was just a line all day long. The line was never short. It was long all day long. And I'm sure, you know, I understand. I mean, I get it. But it's just amazing how much things cost. But I went to the fair. I rode my last ride ever. I used to love rides. And about 4 years ago, might have been five, I got on a ride with my niece and I got off and I said, that's the last ride I'm ever going on. I just didn't feel good. I didn't like it. I didn't get sick, but I didn't feel good. My head kind of hurt a little bit. I was just like, I don't know. I guess you don't see a lot of people 55 and older, and I'm 55 now. You don't see a lot of 55 and olders in the lines for the crazy rides. And I get it now. And it's not a fear thing. It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. As you age, some things become a whole lot less tenable. And for me, amusement park rides are definitely one of those. But I didn't go to the fair. I missed my pork chop on a stick. I just love those. And I just didn't. The day that I would have gone, it was 94 degrees. And I said, there's no chance in the world I'm going to the fair at 94 degrees. It's just, I don't want to be outside at all. And I certainly don't want to be on pavement walking around with thousands of people. So I missed the fair. I'll probably go again next year. But like I said, it's those seasons that you get in life. And this is, I guess, the beginning of I go to the fair less. I would bet you I go to the fair a whole lot less once my daughters are gone. Now, they've been working the last few years, but I don't know. My wife likes the fair, so we'll see. Anyway, so yes, if you are going to have a knee replacement, and the reason that kind of jogged my memory of my mom and everything like that, but I think if you're thinking about a knee replacement, I would probably start thinking about getting on the calendar with whatever surgeon you're with, because it does get crowded at the end of the year, and surgeons will take, like I always take, the last probably 2 weeks of December. Like I'll usually take the week of Christmas and then the next week off and come back early in January. So, but a lot of calendars will get filled up. So if you're going to do something like that this year, if you're wanting to get your knee replaced or your shoulder replaced or something like that, wherever you are, you know, if you have a surgeon you're happy with and you're kind of putting it off, just remember, if you're going to try to get it done this year because of insurance reasons, you know, you want to get your deductible taken care of or anything like that, it's probably very reasonable to just go get on the calendar, because it takes a while. You got to go, typically you'll go to your primary care doc, and then if your surgeon's doing robotic surgery, you'll have to come in and get a CT scan, and there may be other things. It takes minimum 3 weeks or so, and then it depends on how long the surgeon's wait list and stuff like that. So if you have a surgeon that you like and you want to have a surgery done this year, this last quarter, it's kind of smart to start getting it on the books so that you don't get shut out at the end of the year. I mean, there is a point at the end of the year every year that I have to tell people, look, I'm full up, I can't do it, we can do it in January, and that's fine for most people, but some people, you know, they are trying to get their deductible taken up so that they don't have to start the new year with a great big giant bill. So yeah, fall is coming, football is coming. We went over a little bit of sports injuries, and I will probably talk a little bit more about that in an upcoming episode. I went over kind of the basics of knee and shoulder injuries, and I do want to start talking some more about shoulders. I kind of feel like I haven't talked about, there's a lot of things that we're doing that have evolved even over the last 6 months. Shoulder surgery seems to sort of be constantly evolving, and new products are coming out that are helpful. And then the availability of other things, you know, the availability of making some things like a continuous passive motion machine. Most of my patients are getting that now. It's sort of a chair you sit in and it moves your shoulder for you after surgery. Most of my patients are able to get that nowadays. And while those didn't work out that great on knees, they didn't make any difference. They make a big difference on shoulders, and they're helping shoulders not get quite as stiff. So we can talk about that stuff in the future. But anyway, I hope everyone is having a wonderful weekend, and I hope everybody is looking forward to Labor Day, and we will be back soon, and have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.